Excellent. Happy Christmas Eve. Why wait till Christmas, right? It can't be Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. Yes, awesome. I'm a bit of a Christmas fan. I don't know if you are or not. I am. So I just like it. We even celebrate Christmas Eve Eve in our house. The eve of Christmas Eve. It's just like stretch the holiday, right? It's our holiday. We should stretch it as much as we possibly can. If you look around this morning and see people who aren't here, who are traveling, visiting families and stuff like that, text them. I got text. I think one of them woke my wife up during the night. I forgot to put my phone on silent. And I was getting bloop, 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 text from different people, different time zones. Happy Christmas Eve. So it's a good thing to do. So text people who aren't here wish them a happy Christmas and safety with their families and travels and all that stuff. If you've got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. We've been looking at the birth story of Jesus. There's very little new in the story. We've been telling it for 2,000 years. So it's sort of like, it's sort of, well, okay, we know this one. We know how it ends, right? But it's a fascinating story. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. This is what it says. At that time, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So if you've got one of the electronic things, you can scroll to that New Living Translation. If not, just check to make sure I'm not lying with what's mostly in your Bible, right? At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken through the Roman Empire. Anybody have any idea why anybody would take a census? Begins with T and ends with axe. It's the only reason, right? They did this. You only count people when you want to collect taxes. It's the only reason to do it. You only count sheep. You only count cows. You only count how much big the square footage of somebody's house is. You only count your population when you want to take tax. And that's what this was about. And we know we all love to pay tax, all right? So that's what this was about. The Roman Empire was going to tax people because of their war effort and gathering food for slaves and all that type of stuff. And this little paragraph here, right at the beginning of the birth story, ties it to history because we actually have historical records of this taking place. So you know exactly when this took place. We can trace it back in the time of when this actually took place. Everybody returned to their own ancestral home to register for the census, because that's where they were going to be taxed from. And because Joseph, right, remember, Jesus' stepdad, Joseph, the man who was a good guy, right, just, he was a good guy. The Bible calls him a good guy. He's a good man. Verse 4, because Joseph was descended from King David, he went to Bethlehem in Judea. That's David's ancestral home. He traveled there to the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. Not a bit pregnant. She's like an egg on legs, right? That's what she. It's obvious. Like, if you cut her legs off, she'd be a weeble, all right? She wouldn't fall down. She'd be one of those things that you can't knock over. She's an egg on legs. And so that's what she looks like. She's obviously pregnant. Her feet are swelled up. She's going, she's cranky and all sorts. The Blessed Virgin Mary was cranky. So she's pregnant. She's on a journey, right? This is what it says in verse 6. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger. I'm so glad they wrote this, because there was no room at the inn. Can I ask you to remember something? When you read the birth story of Jesus, please do not assume that he was born in a stable because he was poor. He was born in a stable because Joseph couldn't use booking.com. Right? It's the only reason he's born there. And the Bible clearly tells us that. It doesn't say he was born in a stable because they couldn't afford it. He went to the Holiday Inn and knocked on the door. Right? There's no room at the inn. It's not because he didn't have money to pay. Right? You don't tax poor people. He's going to pay taxes. Right? So they're making this journey and he's going there and they try to stay in the inn. And you can imagine, well, maybe you can't. Don't look at your wife. You can imagine the conversation when she found out that he hadn't called ahead. Can we have a room? Yeah, we need a big one. You got a pool for a birth? Got a spa? because she's going to need some spa time after this. Like, it's he didn't call ahead. He couldn't. Well, he could have sent a carrier pigeon, maybe, I don't know, but he didn't book ahead. So that's why they didn't end up in a hotel. So that's why they laid him in a manger. It's great stuff, right? It sort of changes your frame of thinking when you realize some of our thinking about why Jesus was born in a stable is sometimes a little bit misplaced, right? It's not because he's poor. Kings gave him gold. Think about that. Kingmakers, magi, traveled from the east and gave him gold. Do you think they traveled all the way from the east and just gave him like a few dustings of gold? Like, they traveled from the east. They are kingmakers. This is their job. Magi did that. They traveled all over the then known world and made kings. That's what they did. It wasn't just three of them. There was a whole massive group of them that traveled together at a time. They saw stars. They went to places, and they gave him gold. This was not a poor family. Right? You've got to understand that. It changes our thinking when we read the story as it's actually written. In verse 8, this is what it says. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields with their flocks nearby, with their sheep. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord, as Mark, he didn't know I was going to speak on this. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared. You know, like Mr. Clean rips the sky open, steps into our, everything vibrates. Oh, the power that angel must have brought with him. And he says, because nobody's afraid of a little kid with false wings on their back with a coat hanger with tinsel on it, right? Nobody's afraid of that. But when this angel steps out of the glory of God into our space-time continuum, he's terrifying in his majesty. Like, he's incredible in his power, just standing there lighting up the sky. I love the Aurora Borealis. I love being up north and seeing that and sitting there, but this would have just been something to see. And it scared the tar out of them, right? And they were terrified. And he said, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Now listen to this statement. This is what he says. Good news, great joy, all people. Good news, great joy to all people. How many people in here need good news? Have you been fed up with turning on the TV and just hearing bad news? One thing after another. Some of you will know who this is, others won't, because you're just way too young. There used to be two incredibly talented singers, Simon and Garfunkel, just incredibly musicians, just brilliant, just staggeringly good. And they sang a song once called Silent Night. And if you can Google it, go home, Google it. Simon and Garfunkel, Silent Night. And what they did is they sang the song Silent Night over the broadcast of the evening news for that Christmas. And it talks about the people dying, people being murdered, people committing suicide, and all of these different things happening as they're singing Silent Night. And it's just really pointed, right? And it's incredibly skillfully done. And they just sing this beautiful song and over to Silent Night. Behind it is this bad news. And it's just an amazing piece of musical stuff that they put together. And it's on one of their albums. It's a great, great song. But we know people that need good news. And the angel comes and says, I've got good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. We've got good news. And I live in a world and around people who need good news. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but bad news always travels faster than good news. You don't have to be away very long. When I used to travel a lot, and I would get home, and I would arrive home, and before the next day, my phone would ring, and somebody in the church would say, have you heard what's happened? And it was never good news. It was always bad news. People would phone you up and say, this is what happened while you're away. So-and-so did this. And I'm thinking like, could you just give me a day? I would come down to my gran in the morning. My gran used to live with us. And my gran was the bearer of bad news. She was a wonderful old lady, came up with some great sayings. But the first thing, you'd open her door in the morning, you go, hey, Mo, because her name was... Mosley was her surname, so everybody called her Mo. And he'd open the door, go, hey, Mo! And she'd go, they're all dead! And you think, what? All, yeah, morning, Mount. They're all dead. They're all dead. They're all, and you think, what? Like, thank you, Mo, for my morning upliftment. That's wonderful. And she, they're all dead. And she'd start the day like that. But this angel comes and says good news. And I don't know about you, what world you live in, but mine means good news. And like we were praying this morning, and somebody prayed this morning, that we would be carriers and bearers of good news. When you hear people start beaking off and start moaning and complaining, say, yeah, but there, you know, there is good news. There's good news. And the angel does this, and he goes, good news, great joy. Anybody need great joy? Most people buy it by the bottle. But it wears off, right? Like it doesn't stay. So you great joy. You need great joy. Or when people get fed up, they go and they have retail therapy. And they buy the thing that's the thing that they've got to buy to make them the happiest that they could possibly be. And I'm not looking at anybody in the room when I say that, but I had a daughter. And she, there was always just like wonder, oh, if I could just go and buy this. And she'd go to the mall, she'd come home, and she'd say, look what I bought, look at it. And it was the best thing, right? But like within 2 weeks, it'd be crumpled in a pile behind the door. The thing that brought joy is gone. Like good news, great joy. And God says, like great joy. Joy that doesn't fade. Joy that isn't based on what happens. Joy that isn't based on happiness, happenstance. Joy that's not based on eternal things, but joy that comes from within. Joy that you cannot stop, even on the worst of the worst days. Joy that comes from deep inside and just can't be plugged up. That's what the angel says, and he says it's joy. It's unspeakable joy. I love the song that. The carol, when it goes into that verse, the modern reverb, joy, unspeakable joy, dwelling in my soul, never letting go. Joy, unspeakable joy. It's a wonderful thing. Great news. Joy to who? Good news. Great joy to who? All people. All people. Now we sit here and we think, yeah, of course it's to all people. The Jewish people didn't know that. They thought it was just for them. They'd taken this incredible gift that God had given them, the law, and taken it and made it a nationalistic project. And over and over and over again, all the way through the Bible, when you go back to the original call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 24, he says, and you'll remember this, the angel of the Lord comes to him and he says this. He said, all nations on the earth will be blessed through you. All nations, not one. All nations. And they keep trying to make it nationalistic, keep trying to make it their own, keep trying to, and then the angel comes and he says, good news to who? One nation? No, to all people. All people on the face of the earth. Every single one. Everyone. This is good news that we can share with anybody. Anybody, anytime, anywhere. Good news. The Savior, verse 11, yes, the Messiah. And then, I don't know if it says this in your Bible, the Lord. In the New Living Translation, it makes you make sure that you don't have any misunderstanding about who this is. Verse 11, the Savior, the Messenger, the Christ, the Lord. It tells you all three is born to you this day in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, like Mark was saying, suddenly, that single angel was joined by the others. And in the New Living Translation, it says, the armies of heaven. The armies of heaven come and join this angel. And they start to sing. Now, I don't know what you would... If you were one of the angels signing up for choir duty, you're in heaven and God said, hey, we need a choir. Well, what do we need the choir for? Well, they're going to announce the Savior's birth. Oh, awesome. Put my name down. I'm in. When's the rehearsals? Well, they're over here. We'll practice for a couple of millennium, and then we'll send you all down when you got it all nailed. And they come down, and they're going to sing. And you can imagine in heaven, just before they pile on the coach for the tour bus to leave heaven to get to go to sing the anthem for the birth of the king, that they ask the driver, so like, where are we going? We're going to this little town, Bethlehem in Judea. And who are we singing to? What, sheep? Meh. Sheep. What do you mean sheep? Why are we singing to sheep? This is the most important announcement that has ever been made on the face of the earth. Why are we singing to sheep? Like, what on earth is going on? Like, the musicians didn't sing to sheep this morning. They sang to humans. And there's some shepherds, a few shepherds, straggly little shepherds, sitting in a field with a bunch of sheep. The sheep outnumber the shepherds probably 20 or 30 to 1. So you think, yeah, they're singing to shepherds. Yeah, but they're singing to sheep. Just, why would you waste this on shepherds and sheep? Does that not ever bother you? Like, why didn't they turn up at Herod Antipas's place and sing over the palace? Why didn't they turn up there? Why didn't they turn up over the Magi as they were traveling from the east? Why didn't they turn up there? Why did they go to shepherds? Why shepherds? There has to be a reason, right? Has to be. And there is. Why shepherds? Remember right back in the beginning of the Bible, a book called Genesis? Genesis chapter 3 and then 4. What was Abel's job? Cain kills Abel. What was Abel's job? Begins with sh, ends with epard. So he was a shepherd. What was Moses' job? Getting a picture? What was Abraham's job? Begins with sh. Don't be afraid of the answer. It's right there. It's hanging there in the air, ready to be spoken. Like, what was Abraham's job? Shepherd. What was Isaac's job? Shepherd. What was Jacob's job? The founders of the nation were shepherds. Who else would you announce this to other than shepherds? There's no choice. You can only announce this to one set of people. You don't announce this to kings. You announce this to shepherds. Why? Because they're the founding people of your nation. So you go there and you sing it to the shepherds. And these shepherds start to listen. And listen what they sang. Now, I've got to ask you another question. And it's not a trick question. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a mighty host, the armies of heaven, praising God, saying. Now, we're about to read something that we've read lots and lots and lots of times before. Do you think that when God said, I needed an angel choir, do you think that when he sent them, he said, you can make it up as you go along? Or do you think that he may have had an order? Which do you think? The most important announcement that's ever been made, do you think he says to the angels, hey, listen, just turn up, sing whatever you like. Just stick a hat on the floor, they'll throw you money. Like, do you think he said that, or do you think there may be an order in what they say? Follow the script, all right? So follow the script. So this is what the script says. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. We live in a world that is desperate for peace. But what they have done is they've removed glory to God in the highest. The Bible says it works this way, and only this way. Glory to God in the highest, you get peace to all men on earth. If you remove this, you can't have this. Glory to God in the highest, and then you get peace to all men on earth. It's not an accident. We live in society that's trying to remove God from everything, remove the influence of God from everything that we do, and replace it with pseudo-spirituality, but it doesn't give glory to God in the highest. And what happens then is you can't have peace. I meet people all the time who are trying to find peace, desperately trying to find peace. They're sitting cross-legged till their feet go numb. They're wearing spandex that's way too tight and twisting their bodies into shapes that it was not meant to be in. Lululemon is making a fortune out of this, and people are just looking for peace all over the earth. But you can't have peace until you have glory to God in the highest. It doesn't work that way. And if you're sitting in here this morning and you're thinking, well, I want more peace in my life, I've got a hint for you. If you give glory to God in the highest, you're going to end up with peace in your life. In the middle of trial and trouble and all the stuff that this planet throws at you, you will still end up with peace, deep down peace, because you give glory to God in the highest, and that's the way it works. Amen. When the angel had returned to heaven, Can you imagine? All of a sudden, the light show ends, the singing stops, and you go back to the normal shepherding thing. Because it's normal shepherding thing, angel turns up, then a massive choir, then you go back to the normal show. Bit of a letdown, really. And you're just sitting there, and you look around, and you go, there's a number of different things that could happen. If we would all be there, we'd say, did you get that? Like, did anybody film that? Like, Snapchat. Did anybody get that? Did anybody take a picture? Like, or you did, wow, that was cool, wasn't it? Yeah, let's kill a sheep. Let's eat. Kill a sheep, let's eat. Wasn't it cool? And that's what we do at Christmas. Wasn't it cool? Wasn't it nice? Didn't it make us feel good? Let's kill someone and eat it. But that's not what happened here. They didn't just sit around saying, wasn't that cool? Wasn't that nice? Did you hear the singing? Wasn't it awesome? It was wonderful. They didn't just do that. They said, let's go to Jerusalem and see this thing that has happened. I wish, and I pray that more people would stop hearing the story of Christmas and actually go to find out if it's true. Go and find out. Go find out for yourself. Do the research. Go to libraries, go to Google, read your Bible, talk to people who claim to have a relationship with God to find out, is this actually true? These guys didn't just sit around the fire discussing what had just happened. They said, okay, if it's true, he's going to be there. If it's true, let's go see. So they get up and they go and they rush. Now, what did they go to see? Because the birth that is described is not a Jewish understanding of how the Messiah will arrive. This will be the sign. You're going to find him wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger. That's not a Jewish understanding of how the conquering hero of their nation arrives. And so they look at each other and say, well, let's go check it out. Let's go see. And you might be sitting here this morning saying, okay, I've been through countless Christmases, but it's a nice Christmas card. It's a nice nativity scene. It's all of that stuff. But is that all it is? Well, go see. Find out for yourself. The Bible says over and over and over again, taste and see for yourself that God is good. Don't take a Christmas card's word for it. Don't take your friend's word for it. Don't just sing carols. Don't just say, wasn't that nice? Don't just eat the food. Find out. See what is actually there. Now, this is what they went to see. They hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph there, and there was a baby lying in a manger. After the shepherds saw him, shepherds told everybody what happened with the angel. What did they go to see? They went to see a little baby lying in a manger. They went to go and see a little baby lying in a manger. I wonder what Bethlehem looked like that night. Because this is what they actually went to see. They went to see, what does it look like? And I've heard Mark pray this, and others of you pray this different times. God, we pray that your kingdom comes, your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. What does it look like in Bethlehem when heaven touches earth? What does that look like? Let's go see. Let's go see. Let's find out what happens when heaven touches earth. What does it look like? I guarantee you this. Most times, it won't look like we think it does. They weren't expecting a baby to turn up wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. They weren't expecting that. That's not how the Messiah comes. In their traditional thinking, that's not how he comes. But that's what they went to see. Let's see what happens when heaven touches earth. I have a question for you that you don't have to answer. What would your home look like if heaven was in it? What would your workplace look like if heaven was in it? What would my car driving look like if heaven was behind the wheel? I thank God for those wonderful things where it says that he drives with the spirit of Jehu, right? Like drives like a madman. Right? It gives us. But what would my life look like if heaven was in it? What would the doctor's waiting room look like if heaven was there? What would our family Christmases look like if heaven was there? What would our arguments look like if heaven was there? And these shepherds looked at each other and said, let's go see. Let's go see what Bethlehem looks like when heaven touches earth. Let's go see. And my challenge to you this Christmas season is this. Go and see and find out what your life could look like if heaven touched it. What can my life look like if heaven lives in it? Because we hear it prayed often. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What would my life look like if heaven actually touched it? If heaven came and lived where I walk, what would my life look like? It's a great question to ask. And sadly, when I think about my life, sometimes I think, not a very good answer. And it's because the absence of heaven often in my life. I need more of heaven in me. I need more of the Savior in me. I need more of the living reality of what these shepherds saw, not just a story, not just a Christmas card, not just a reason to kill another sheep and eat. What does heaven look like when heaven touches earth? What does earth look like when heaven touches earth? What does my life look like? So let's pray together, shall we? And as we go about this Christmas season, keep reminding yourself, it's not about cards and candles. It is about presents. Love them. But it's about what happens when heaven touches earth. Okay, so Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the people who are in this room who are after good news, who need good news in their life. I pray that they this season will get good news. I pray that all the fear will drop away, just like the angel said, that fear would be removed and replaced by good news. Father, that we'd have the guts to give glory to God in the highest so that we could experience your peace. And that we'd also have the guts to go and see whether this story is actually true or if it's just a story that we talk about once a year. Father, please let us experience what it's like when heaven touches earth in our lives. In Jesus' name, keep us safe as we travel around and we visit families. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you're thinking, you know, that's me, actually. I do need peace in my life. I need good news. Please, before you leave today, come and talk to somebody. Come talk to Mark or one of the musicians or myself or Michelle who gave the announcements or Heidi who did the flamethrower. Just come and talk to somebody, all right, about being prayed for. Okay? Wonderful. Bless you.
Also an invitation if you have time to stay after the service. It's always nice just to hang out a bit and chat. So if you don't have to rush off, you're welcome to stay. And also just a